Oh, and gymnastics as well, too. I like, loved it.
Oh, right.
This is where Alex gets it from. Everybody told it's either because it, Jenny never liked it, and Charlie certainly didn't.
So just picking up on where we left off last time, then it was you talking about meal times and things, and talking about the problem you had with, was it dairy products?
Dairy product, yeah.
All dairy products? You couldn't drink milk?
No, I wasn't allowed milk at school, but it upset me. I could drink milk, but in very small quantities.
So you couldn't eat cheese?
Yes, I could, but it had to be certain sorts of cheeses,
And what about eggs?
Well, that there again, eggs were quite good, but they said the white was better for me than the yolk. But, you know, you're everything in moderation, really.
And how long did that intolerance last?
Really, all my life, in a sense, but I grew out of it, really, I suppose, in my teens. I was subject to violent bilious attacks for no reason at all the way through my childhood, which were really severe. And if you didn't adhere to, you certainly did get them, and all the way through the war I got them. Dreadful.
Well, these things are still quite poorly understood now.
I
mean, so
that's why I suppose I was so sick when I had that. Well, I wasn't sick with the girls, but with you two boys, I was sick right the way through the whole pregnancy. Just was dreadful. And they said, "Wait, did you have a problem with this sickness?" I said, "Yes, as a child." Well, this is how it's coming out now. Awful. Keep anything down. And equally, when I had whooping cough, I didn't keep anything down. Like a Belson case in my early teens. I missed practically a whole year of schooling.
So, looking at specific meal times, what did breakfast consist of generally?
Cornflakes or porridge.
But not with milk on then?
Yes, or, I could have a little milk, yes. But it was usually the milk. In those days, you had cream on the top of the milk, and they took that off. And I was able to have the cream on the top. And I think they had sugar with it, yes, which probably wouldn't do now. But perhaps they weren't as heavily sugared as in those days as they are now. Sometimes we had toast, marmalade, pended, or fruit.
Lunch at home or at school, was that a...?
I started having school meals, and I think that made me ill, but you can imagine school meals were pretty dire in those days. So I took sandwiches in the end, because my mother knew what she was putting into the box, which did not include crisps and things like that. In those days, we didn't have crisps in the house, but we were any. Thereby hangs a tale, doesn't it? There's always fruit and sandwiches and something or other. But certainly not chocolate bars or anything like that. Couldn't have had those.
Did you all eat together in the evening when
father came home? I must have done, I think, but I didn't sort of... Yes, I suppose we must have done. I don't think we did, because what happened about that really now when I come to think of it? Because my father had a meal at college every day at lunchtime.
Right, that's it. Okay.
I don't know how that was arranged. I'm sure whether I had something when I came home or something, and then he had just supper they used to have a lot of bread and cheese. In those days, and things like celery and things like that.
Well, these were actually quite hard times, weren't they, in the early 30s? There was a big recession on, and you probably weren't aware of that as a child at all, really.
It grew vegetables then. It just always did. And I had my own little garden too by the time I went to Kent. And she said, well, I wanted my own little garden, so I decided I would found a little corner and picked some of the flowers and poked them into the earth, because they all died. It was very good. He wasn't cross. He said, well, you know, never do that, because the plants can't live without, you know, their roots and things. And what we'll do is we'll make a little garden that's yours, and you can have a little seat, and I'll teach you how to plant, which he did. So that was my domain. And he said, don't dig my plants again.
So what were weekends like? Presumably he had the weekends off, did he, your father?
Yes, except in certain times. He used to do a lot of examination papers for the London University, where you had to be very quiet, because he didn't have a calculator. Mathematics were not his forte. So if you interrupted him when he was counting, all hell let loose. So I stayed in the garden out of the way.
Did he have a bad temper?
He did. If he got I wouldn't say he was bad tempered, but he did have a temper. He didn't push it.
Like to concentrate, I suppose, and
when he did
interrupted. So not having a car, I suppose you're reduced to sort of taking a bus or walking around the area.
I used to walk. My father would take me out to Kendridge, take me out to Farningham on the bus, and then we would walk for the entire day. And he taught me all about nature study and wildflowers, and I would have to recite what they all were when I got home.
Did you all go out as a threesome?
No, my mother didn't like walking. Didn't like stop. Walking. She stayed.
Don't associate her with the outdoor life. quite well suited, really, weren't they?
Well, that of course is why they always had separate holidays.
Yes.
Which a lot of people thought was strange, but I thought it was an excellent idea, because they both came home refreshed. He went camping with his students, which would have been an absolute anathema to my mother. The thought of camping in muddy tents and things and roughing it like that was just the last straw for her. And he, on the other hand, she liked going to seaside places and sitting, you know, just looking and listening to the band, and that. I hated it. But it was horrible. You could go and come collectors or something, and it on occasion, I think, go to the sea with us, but it wasn't his thing. He didn't really like seaside holidays. And not really. It wasn't his thing at all.
So what about relations and friends, people visiting you?
We did have a lot of friends, and I had always had a lot of friends. I'd always got someone to play with. I always made sure. And you just made your own amusements.
No, I was thinking more about aunts and uncles coming to stay. Or
John and Norman and Margaret used to come when she was alive. My mother's youngest sister, who died when she was 21. And she used to come down, but she and my mother used to quarrel a bit. Remember, arguments when quite a difficult teenager, apparently.
Joan was older than Margaret.
A lot older.
What things did they used to argue about?
I couldn't tell you what, but
anything.
I've still got a scar to this day, here somewhere, white scar, where I was holding a medicine glass with and they were arguing actually in the kitchen, and I was so tense listening to them. I broke the glass and cut my...
Because
that's dangerous.
Yes,
it's me. My father did blow his top then. God. He didn't go to hospital. I mean, he dealt with it. But it left a scar. I don't remember which hand was it. I don't remember. Probably the right hand. And until a little while ago, there was a white scar. I just hobbled off. I'm not listening to this argument.
No. Well, it is distressful when you hear that.
with her brother. She didn't argue with her brothers at all.
Did you go on visits to their houses?
Yes, I went to stay with. I didn't think I went to stay with John a little because he was just a bachelor, you know, at home for a long time. But I went to a lot of my aunts. I went to my mother's sisters. I had lovely times with the great aunts who were teachers in London, and they lived in their family home when parents died. And I can't remember where that was, but it was quite a posh area in London.
So it was Lucy and Charlotte, wasn't it? So nearly all of your mum's family were in the south east, then, weren't you, in the sort of London area, I think.
Oh, yes.
It was all grandpas were up in Lancashire.
Yeah. Well, either that or they moved to the Midlands, Leeds and Leicester and places like that.
Right.
Coming out from Manchester. I remember very when my sister was born in 1936. I went for the entire Easter holidays up north, and it was a revelation to me.
Was that the first time you'd been up there?
Went up by train, and it was lovely to be in a family. And
In Stockport, yeah.
Yes.
So you could stay with Barbara. That Barbara was living there.
Barbara
wasn't
was living there. Yes, she was. Auntie Gladys and Auntie Nini lived there. There was plenty of room in that house for two families that easily live completely separate lives. You know. No, I loved it. I loved it up there.
Did somebody take you up there? Then,
yes, Barbara's father, Uncle George.
Oh, he came down. Yeah,
and took me up on the train.
Well, it must have been very exciting then.
It was. Steam trains and.
Yeah.
And, we went to that one. Remember, we went to the dining car and served. I don't know what we had, but it was all lovely. But I was dying to go to the loo, and I didn't dare ask him. By the time I got the house, I was nearly bursting.
Oh dear.
It was just my wife reminded me, why, I said, do you ask her, silly man? Why, no child might want to go to the loo.
Did they have toilets on the train? They weren't.
I think so. But I don't know how I'd have managed, I'm sure. It was a long journey in those days.
It was almost 4 or 5 hours, I should think, 4 hours at the most.
I kept thinking, I thought, I can't possibly ask my uncle to go to the loo. Not that he would have minded, he wouldn't. But.
Well, no, well, that's the sort of downside of the kind of the manners thing, in the way that the most important thing you need to ask at a particular time, you daren't ask because
it wasn't. It wasn't the thing, you know. Didn't mention things like that. Funny, isn't it? You think now that things were so different.
Was that the first time you'd met Barbara then, when you went up there? Or
no,
you
met Barbara quite early on. But we didn't get on that well. We were tiny children, apparently. But we got to. We cemented a great friendship after that. And of course they came down to Barnet in the south, and we were, you know, she was really more like the sister I would have had, because she was just 2 years older than me. Whereas the gap between my sister was 10 years, and that's too long. I had a nice relationship with her when we were growing up.
So you were up there for a couple of weeks or something?
About 4 weeks, I think.
About 4 weeks, gosh.
So she enabled my mother to get home, and she went into that. She really had her in comfort. She had her in a nursing home. me at home, and then of course poor Jane was born during the air raid with doodle bugs, and this poor woman on the bed and on the floor and on the bed and on the floor. It was awful. It couldn't have been a worse time for anybody to have been born. Poor Jane.
Can you remember any particular outings when you're up in the north?
Yes, we used to go out to sort of magpie houses. A lot of those, aren't they? What we call magpie houses. Well, proper Elizabethan houses.
Oh, right.
The black and white. And there was an awful lot of them up there. And walks and things, and going into Manchester and...
You mentioned getting the tram, because it wasn't in, it was Heaton Moor, wasn't it? Just outside Stockport.
But you could go into Manchester on a bus. The thing I remember most about those holidays and later on was that the sky was so clear and you could see stars completely as if they were just overhead. Well, you can't see that always now.
There's always been more light pollution in the south, hasn't there?
Yeah, it was so clear. It was beautiful watching the sky up there. Really was lovely at night.
What did you make of the axe? Was that your first encounter with a different way of speaking?
Oh, yeah. Of course
your father didn't have any trace of Lancashire, did he?
Just occasionally you would hear, he'd put... you could just hear vaguely, and of course he had words that they used up north too a lot, but he wouldn't have known. Mother got quite cross. For goodness sake, pick that accent up, because I came back speaking like a North Country. Whereas they used to make fun of me. Especially Auntie Dora's husband. Because it was good back then.
Can you remember what your speaking voice was like? That were you sort of very meticulous about pronunciation and things?
I wasn't allowed to use slang.
Right.
Which is another thing that was forbidden.
Don't
use that sort of slang expression. Not necessary. Perfectly good language. Use it properly.
So who was the stickler for language? Was that your father?
Oh, yeah. My mother was very fussy about how you walked.
All right.
Because I always turned my feet out and she never could correct that. Are you always going to walk like Charlie Chaplin? Probably. No, I didn't say that, but... Stand up straight.
Had she been into a... Well, she was quite a well-to-do family.
Oh, yeah.
Family.
She went to Lady Margaret's school, which was a very posh school in London.
All the deportment and that
kind of thing. Both those two went to... what's her name? Went to Merchant Taylor's. Norman. By the time they got to the last two, they just went to ordinary school. Very ordinary school. And I think... I have a feeling that Margaret was a little bit backward. I don't know, but I have a feeling that she was, I think. She was very sweet and very pretty, but very awkward like my sister.
She died young, you said, didn't she? Almost where we are talking about now, isn't it? In the mid-30s she died?
It was... Soon after Norman's wedding, because she was a bridesmaid, so they buried her in her bridesmaid dress.
Oh, gosh.
That's awful. Nobody ever said, but I think she must have had cancer. She was in hospital. And my mother, of course, had an absolute phobia about hospitals. She wouldn't go in them. Never came to see me in a hospital or anything, ever. She just couldn't stand the hospitals. And I always felt very sad that she...
She ended up in one.
That was the last place she should have ended up in. She really had an absolute phobia about them. She didn't really like anything to do with the nursing Well, my father was a sort of born nurse.
Well,
he always nursed us through everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Went straight. If you hurt yourself, you went straight to him. Yeah. He dealt with it.
And all that family were sort of healers and carers. Wonderful. Auntie Lena, yes. Always.
All of them were wonderful.
On hand to look after us when you were when you were taken ill and got into hospital.
Yeah. They were completely at home with that sort of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It all passes down, doesn't it? Either comes naturally to you or it doesn't.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the return journey like then? Did George bring you back as well?
I presume he must have done. I can't remember the return journey. I remember being delighted with my. It was so strange. Later on, Mary said, "Well, did you not realise why she was like she was to you?" And I said, "No, because she was so jealous of you." I said, "Well, why?" Because it should have been me after 10 years being a kingpin to suddenly have a. I said, "It never occurred to me to be jealous of her." Mm-hmm. She was as jealous as hell of me.
Mm.
That's how it started, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, never occurred to me. There's nothing like that with Jane. This is entirely different. It's almost like having my own little girl. Mm-hmm. 17.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of people thought she was.
Very much younger. Mm-hmm. So we just need to kind of regroup a little bit. So Anne is born. Are you still in Woking?
No. Ah. We're in Kent.
Okay. Mm. So when did you move from Woking to Kent?
I must have been about 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would have been about 8. And then it's when I went to Manor House School, which is in Sidcup. It's a nursing home, I think, now. And it was a boarding school, but of course I didn't go as a boarder. And it was good. It was a good. We were well educated there. I said it, and I think back to it. It really did give us a good grounding in all sorts of things. Quite old fashioned, of course.
Did you have any regrets about leaving Woking, leaving friends behind?
I don't think I thought about it too much. You know, it's a new house, and I made lots of friends immediately, and. They always made sure I had a little friend to play with, you know.
So it was a house you moved to then, was it?
Yes, it was when the first people were buying houses for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice house.
Mm.
House. I always wanted to go back and see it.
Can you remember where it was?
Yes, from 43 Summerhill Avenue in Sidcup.
Summerhill Avenue.
Jane said she'd seen it on the, she said, "Well, it's very much the same, except that they've got a conservatory on the back now, of course."
Mm-hmm.
But she said it looks very much the same. that was a nice house, actually, very nice house.
Had your father changed jobs as well?
No, he went up to London.
Right.
From traveling down. But he didn't really ever like being in Sidcup or anything. Didn't like suburbs very much.
That would have been one of the first suburbs, I think, because it's not that far out, is it?
No.
Sort of.
Yeah. As I say, then I managed to. I didn't have to do the scholarship examination, which all my other friends did. But I had to take the same examination, and if I didn't get it, you didn't go. But I managed to scrape through. I suppose it's like it was called county high school in those days. And that was a very good school. As Kent was quite renowned for its education, forward thinking. And the boys' school was the same as the first one. It had a completely glass side where you could see the boys going up and down the stairs. But we were never allowed to fraternise with the boys.
So this is It was a secondary school then now, is it?
Probably, so, I don't so. Know.
But you know, were you aware were suddenly you of the of your fellow pupils being much taller and louder?
Everybody
and
was taller. Everybody was taller.
Were you very short then?
Very tiny, yes. But it was a lovely school. It was built on a different to the, a lot of the schools that were built then. It built it like a quadrangle.
Oh, yeah.
With an, it was beautiful, and we had made a film, which I saw later on, of us doing rhythmics. And then it had one side that was like a cloister. And a beautiful gymnasium. And all the sort of thing was that you, a lot of schools didn't have.
Mm.
Lovely science labs, and it was really nice school. And a lovely hall with a beautiful stage. And
gosh.
Yes, it was nice.
So you mentioned Eurythmics, so there was movement to music and
music
things.
Music and
yeah.
movement, yes. Mm. Mm, which was lovely.
Yeah. Was that a weekly session of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. What were the teachers like in the 30s? Were they mostly women? You had probably had some men, still are women.
Yes, no men teachers in the women's girls' schools.
Mm.
No. And my headmistress had been a teacher at Lady Margaret School. She taught my mother.
Oh, right.
She was absolutely thrilled when she went up to see her. And she said, "You realise I'm one of your old pupils?" Oh, I say.
So often they don't remember, they can't remember, because there were so many, aren't there?
So many,
there,
yes. Yes. She was a nice, very nice lady too. A very nice headmistress.
What was her name?
Can't remember. But I can't. I've got a picture of her. And my mother was thrilled when she said that must be the same one. You know, it was.
Were there any particularly inspiring teachers?
Yes,
that you had?
The music teacher.
Oh.
She looked like Beethoven. Female Beethoven. <That's Aaron. laughs> Rather fierce looking, but she wasn't. She was just lovely.
You remember what she was? Her name was?
Yeah, I can't. The back of my mind, and I can't think what it is now. Well,
you
remember
you know it. It'll always it'll ping through about 3 days' time.
Enormous science district mistress. All that many huge fat people, but she was enormous. She took 2 seats in the bus, I remember. She couldn't have one seat, and the whole bus used to sort of lean to one side.
Well, it was unusual.
That was Mrs. Fatty Foreman.
Fatty Foreman.
P teacher, she was nice. And they had a lovely, eccentric history teacher. Lovely, she really made me enjoy, really enjoyed history. And a perfectly diabolical geography teacher who put me off geography for life.
Always the way. Did the teachers have nicknames?
Yes.
Can you remember any of
them? Actually, it was Nellie Knight. But we just didn't hit it off at all. I can still remember her at the end of the class. She would say, "Stand!" At the end of the class. If you made a noise, "Sit!" And this went on for ages until we did it silently. Incredibly stupid.
Mm.
It was quite laughable, really. And if you showed a sort of slight humour, you could stay behind.
What about class sizes?
They were quite large, actually, when I think about it. Even then, we had three. Each class, each form was divided into three. There were sort of 1, 2, 3 of each form.
Mm.
Because there were, I think, were something like 31.
31 in each, yeah, gosh.
Because there were...
Yeah.
There weren't that so many schools, I suppose, and there were a lot of children coming into the area. I think that's probably what caused it, but I don't think we suffered from it.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Mm.
I can remember being form monitor.
Was that a were you that quite often or just
yeah quite often
all right
yeah.
What did that you had to clean
the put
blackboard.
The date on the board in French not in English. trying to remember.
Look, we've all run out of this session as well. So okay.